This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I'm Barry. This is the Voice Within for another week. Brought to you by
Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
I know January is nearly over, but this is Lee Harris's prediction for 2026.
Theme number one for January is going to be a theme that really covers the whole year, but I wanted to touch on it. This theme of a year of energetic reorganization on global and personal levels, that's what 2026 is going to be when we zoom out and look at it as a bird's eye view. So it's going to mean that you are going to go through your own process of reorganization this year. Now, for some of you, it might be that over the last year or two or three, you've gone through a lot of purging, a lot of clearing, a lot of transformation. 2026 is going to be a year that you are going to be able to make a lot of your wishes, desires, and also the things that you want to bring into reality happen. It will be a very supported year in terms of personal creation. So things that you've been working on for a while, and especially things that you have been preparing yourself for. Energetic reorganization allows us to freshen up the energy of our room, our house, our life, and it really allows us to build something new. When we reorganize, we not only tidy things up, we also find things that are no longer relevant to us, things that are in the back of the cupboard, things that you're never going to use, things that you go, oh, I could give this to a friend, or I could let go of this now and create space for the new. So 2026 as a year is going to be this year of energetic reorganization. And those of you who've already been doing that, for you, it will really allow you to actualize reorganization in your life, to literally see the things that you want to build and create start to happen in tangible reality. In tandem with that, there will be some of you who, for various reasons, perhaps haven't been able to get to that point yet. This will be the year you do it. It will be the time and the energy and the will inside you to recognize that you want to start making changes. So this year of energetic reorganization happens on global and on personal levels. So you can expect to continue to see the flux that we've been seeing in the last few years of different agendas playing out on the planet, trying to hold on to things, trying to grapple with things. I'll come to those agendas in a few themes' time because there is a message that's quite strong about that. But this year of energetic reorganization needn't be anything that we fear. In fact, it can be what we embrace. If you think about our lives, as long as we are alive on the planet in this body, we have the opportunity to create and recreate our lives as we go. So if the idea of energetic reorganization scares you, you might want to look at what you're afraid to let go of or what you think you can't let go of. Because without some letting go, we can't bring in the new. If it excites you, there are a few themes coming up that you will particularly like. So that's theme number one. Theme number two, and this is very specific to January, honor your tenderness in January. Honor your tenderness in January. And here are the words I've given you for this theme. As a recovery from 2025 and all we moved through, tenderness will return to strength. But tenderness and vulnerability may rise as a reaction to all that went before. Self-care, support, and inward moments of quiet or reflection will give you this space to breathe. So as I was channeling these words earlier, tenderness will return to strength. I think for many of us, and this is true for me too, when you're in something and it feels very visceral in your system, either you're feeling upset about something or down about something or agitated by something that's got your attention, there can be a tendency for all of us to think, oh, this is now how life is forever. You know, for us to get very immersed in whatever it is that we're moving through. And I always find it very helpful to remind myself, not only will this pass, this too shall pass, but this will also transform. Whatever I'm in right now is designed to transform me. And our tenderness and our vulnerability, which I think many of us were discouraged from feeling or experiencing in ourselves when we were younger, it's an incredible act of power to allow yourself to feel and acknowledge your tenderness and your vulnerability. Because when you do that, you don't block your system. You don't try and control your feelings. You don't try and control your system. You allow your system to do what it needs to do. And when we've been through a lot, and when a lot has happened to us, and we get ourselves to a place where we either just have to feel our vulnerability, or we're suddenly in a circumstance or a moment in time where we can breathe and we can go, phew, wow, that was a lot. I just went through a lot, and I'm just going to take a private moment to acknowledge that and feel that and let my system, my nervous system, my feelings, let them be seen and honored in all of that. It's okay to have moments of tenderness and vulnerability. And the way that we create a safe space for those is self-care. So this might look like doing things that soothe you. For me, water is always a great reset, whether it's a shower or a bath or being outside in water. You'll have your own methods. I use music, I use meditative breathing. There's so many different things that any of us can find that help support us. And we're all very different, so we all need different acts of self-care. So I wrote here, self-care, support, and inward moments of quiet or reflection will give you this space to breathe. So support relates to having good people around you when you are vulnerable. When you are vulnerable, do not go and see your angry, judgmental mother-in-law. Go and see your loving, angelic friend. Or don't see anyone if you can't think of anyone who's going to be supportive to you. This other piece of inward moments of quiet or reflection will give you this space to breathe. If you're a very busy person, perhaps you're a caretaker for dependents in your life, whether it's children or a family member that you're having to look after round the clock, really important to try and give yourself 5-10 minutes a few times a day where you can just sit and either breathe, or perhaps for you, if you're particularly busy, having prompts for yourself, having a journal, having a piece of paper and a pen, writing down, what am I grateful for right now? What am I struggling with right now? It doesn't always have to be the positive. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves these questions, or have a dear friend or loved one ask these questions of us, for us to surface how we feel. I think that's common for many of us. Sometimes if we haven't been tracking how we're doing or checking in with how we're doing, sometimes it's the act of questioning that will lead to the answer. So if you are someone who's very busy, but you feel a need for this quiet, reflective moment that I'm talking about, ask yourself a few questions. What am I grateful for in 2025? What am I recovering from in 2025? What am I looking forward to in 2026? A few questions, prompts, that will allow you to get a little more in touch with your inner world, particularly if you have had to abandon your inner world or your awareness of your inner world in order to stay on the hamster wheel or the service. We'll get to that a little later in the EU with the end of self-abandonment. Okay, theme number 3, and this is an annual theme that's going to start showing up immediately in January if it hasn't already been showing up for you. 2026 is a year of the voice and speaking your truth. A year of the voice and speaking your truth. This will be a theme all year, and January begins this energy strongly. So be patient with yourself as you learn how to speak your truth with compassion and balance when love is required. And equally, don't restrict yourself when you are speaking up to create a necessary boundary in your life. Speaking the truth comes naturally after practice, but practice is required. So be kind to yourself as you learn this new way. Words have the power to change your reality, relationships, and your life. This is why we're scared of speaking our truth, by the way, because we know how powerful our words are. And perhaps if you've been on the receiving end of abusive or judgmental or belittling words, you may have shut your mouth because you feel so wounded by words that you're now incredibly careful around your words. For any of you who have been in that scenario or situation where you've been around people who've used words as weapons against you, or you've got your own self-judgment up here. I know I had so much of it in my 20s, and I, you know, have my own moments every now and then in my 30s and 40s. But when you have a very strong self-judge up here, it can be a reaction to the people who have judged you. And you create this level of self-judgment in your own head so that you no longer are emboldened to do the thing you want to do or act the way you want to act. Because when you did that in the past, you were judged, punished, belittled, stopped. So there are so many reasons that learning to speak our truth takes us time. It really takes us time. And I remember very clearly in my early 20s when I was starting to practice speaking my truth, I was so nervous. And I would, you know, do it very inartfully at the beginning. I perhaps would be a bit tense. So it is a practice, speaking your truth. And the more you do it, the more you get used to doing it. And it's a great way of weeding out people in your life. You know, if you speak your truth to someone and they have a bad reaction and you go, oh gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean it that way, or actually, yes, let me say it in a more loving way, or, and they go, oh, okay, good, thanks for apologizing, I understand now. That's good. That's the kind of friend or person you want in your life. But if they double down on condemning you and they tell you off for what you said and they won't hear your apology, that's very interesting information about who that person is. And that person probably isn't going to be very resonant with you going forward, because if they're not willing to have a heart-to-heart back and forth and to give you some grace, just as you're giving them the grace of the apology. So there is going to be a lot of shifting in relationships as we continue to go through the coming years, not necessarily losing relationships or leaving relationships, but transforming relationships from the inside. What I have noticed in my life is I've been so inspired by people in my life who have spoken truth to me in a way that surprised me. And it inspired me to do the same. And equally, I've had other people say to me, oh, I'm really glad you were honest about that, because now I'm realizing I could be honest about something to my friend. So speaking your truth is not about being right. It's not about being right. There is no such thing as right. There is personal righteousness. Speaking your truth is about being clear about what's true for you without trying to make the other person wrong, but it creates a boundary and it's a way of shaping your life. So it might be that there are one or two people in your life you are less comfortable speaking your truth with. That will be because time has shown you this person is not available for an easy conversation. This person is not perhaps used to speaking so honestly, having such open emotional truth. And I do think for all of us, the rule is, can you speak from the heart? And there are times that we will do that really successfully. And there are times that we might be a bit triggered, or we might not yet be very mature in speaking our truth. We might be a little tense, so it might come out a little abrupt. But the great thing is, if we are willing to start speaking our truth and do it to the best of our ability, and you're checking how your truth lands for other people as well, you're not just whacking people over the head with what you want to say. It's not an egotistical or a narcissistic thing. It's actually you trying to have a more fluent relationship with this person, or your honesty to them will reveal that they don't want that level of relationship with you. They liked it how it was. They don't want this new level of truth. And that will be good information too. So be patient with yourself as you learn how to speak your truth with compassion and balance when love is required. But equally, don't restrict yourself when you are speaking up to create a necessary boundary in your life. Words are powerful, and you have the power to create a new relationship with the truth of the words that you decide to use. Silence is very powerful too, by the way. But in this case, because this is a year of the voice, speaking your truth should go to a new level for most of us. Even those of you who are already good at it, it will come even more effortlessly and fluently. And what it will do is it will rearrange your life beautifully. It will bring some people closer than ever to you. And it might make some people go, oh, don't like quite how honest she is. I'm going to step away, which creates space for someone to come into your life who can match your honesty. And that will be a relief for you. Theme number four, dramatic beginnings. Dramatic beginnings. So January will come with some dramatic shocks and shifts, which may take you by surprise and signal the energetic strength of this year of reorganization ahead of us. Remember, all things change with time. And sometimes the changes that initially seem difficult lead to brighter roads later on. So yeah, sometimes things happen in our life and we're like, oh God, I didn't want this to happen. I wish this hadn't happened. And then 6 months later, you go, oh, if that hadn't happened to me, I would never have done X, Y, or Z and been led to my next person, job, thing. So my sense of this dramatic beginnings theme is it's going to be global and it's going to show up more in the outside world than in the personal world. But there's always a chance, you know, themes are always interchangeable. So it might be that you have some dramatic shocks or shifts in your personal life that will take you by surprise, might be very impactful at first. But stay the course. Trust that as you go through the days and weeks, there will be a shift around how you see it. So it will be interesting to see what those dramatic shocks or shifts are in January. And I'm sure globally we will look at them together. And if they're showing up for you personally, try and keep that in mind about what might be shifting for you ultimately for the better, even if it doesn't look that way when it first happens. Theme number five, and I think this links to dramatic shock, actually. I think this links to the prior theme. So manipulation energy in power systems and leadership. Manipulation energy in power systems and leadership. So on the one hand, we've already been seeing this play out over recent years. But the fact that it's coming up for January is interesting. So power systems and leadership taking advantage of people's tiredness or unpreparedness as a way to manipulate things or tighten people's lives. Now, this is not new to us, but this will become clearer to more and more people as we go through the year. And we are entering a 2 to 3 year span of global reckoning around power abuse and the neglect of people's well-being for the sake of personal power. This energy may also show up in any imbalanced relationships in your personal life, but let's look at it globally for a second. So unfortunately, it seems to take these things happening for more people to see them. So manipulation energy in power systems and leadership, taking advantage of people's tiredness or unpreparedness as a way to manipulate things or tighten people's lives. And where I think this goes back to the January shock is the impact is felt immediately in the short term. But then as things move on, more gets revealed about the manipulation because we're at a time in consciousness where the old order cannot achieve its aims, even though it's pushing hard and trying hard and will continue to for the next 2 or 3 years. But more and more people are beginning to question it and see it very clearly. So this is going to be an interesting month for some of this to rise to the surface, but it may be that this same manipulation energy shows up in some of your imbalanced relationships in your life. Are you yourself trying to manipulate someone or something because you don't trust? You know, your ego or your thoughts or your mind has decided you need this or you want this. And so you're working very hard to get it. When you feel yourself doing that, ask yourself, is my heart involved? Because we know the difference. We know the difference when we feel heart open. And when there's no heart involved, it's more like, it's more of a mind, more of a push, more of a, where is the drive coming from? Is it coming from your root chakra and fear and survival? And so you're trying to make something happen against the will of others. Or maybe for you, for many of you, it's going to be that you're going to see manipulation energy even more clearly in the people around you. And the thing I've always felt about manipulation energy when I see it, or if I feel it coming toward me, is we don't have to get upset at the people who are trying it. Any person in your life who is trying to manipulate you, you actually, on a deeper level, you have to feel for them. Because if that's how they think they're going to get their needs met, and that's all they know, or that's what they were trained into, that's actually quite sad. Because they aren't living a life that is in possession of heart or love. They're desperately trying to grasp onto things. So you can have compassion for them, even as you say no, or you have a boundary. And it might not be your job to be their therapist. Some of them might welcome your feedback about what you see that they're doing. And in other cases, it might be safer for you and your well-being to just back away and not say anything. Let them figure that out themselves if they don't seem amenable to your detailed feedback. So look out for manipulation energy in January. And I think it will mostly be the global scale, but some of you will experience it personally as well. Theme number 6. The end of self-abandonment. The end of self-abandonment. As I say this, I feel a whole bunch of you go, oh. Yeah, I think, you know, self-abandonment can be a common theme for many who are empathic, sensitive, awake. You know, it's often a survival mechanism that we develop when we were young. Sometimes abandoning yourself in order to serve others was the way that you survived a difficult childhood, or just your reaction to how weird the world was because you were very sensitive and maybe you hadn't yet worked that out. So you got into these relationship patterns and dynamics with people where you were a people pleaser in order to be safe or in order to try and uplift others. Well, good news. The end of self-abandonment heralds the end of that, or the beginning of the end for some of you, because it takes quite a few years for most of us to reprogram ourselves around that. So allowing the magical back into your personal life will happen through connecting to yourself, your life, and your essence. And this will be important in January. Equally, tough lessons can show up to support this, which may put you into feelings of victimhood temporarily. Feel whatever you need to feel in yourself if this happens for you, but equally, ask yourself what you need to change in your life in order to change these feelings from being a recurring theme for you. You are not here as a slave to others or to the consciousness or the healing of the earth. Martyrdom and the feeling that you are the only savior or helper can be the shadow side here. So the idea that you've got to save the world, or that if you don't do it, who's going to do it? That's not actually true. You forget there are a lot of us here and the universe is organizing everything. And as I've always said, a person who is really hungry, if you won't feed them, they're going to give up on you and they're going to go somewhere else to find food. They're going to get their needs met. It doesn't always have to be through you. So if you're feeling martyrdom, if you're feeling like you're the only one doing everything for everyone, helping everyone, oh, that's going to get tough now. That's going to really come up in your face. And it's a gift that it does. It truly is. I know it doesn't feel good. I know it might come with lots of pent-up feelings and historic feelings and agitation, but this is a good thing. It's actually good that this rises in you. It could be years and years and years, or lifetimes of you doing this self-abandonment dance. The truth is, and my guides, the Z's, say this all the time, when we learn to align with who we are more, we become naturally benevolent. We become naturally supportive in the areas that we are supposed to be supportive. We also outgrow roles. So healers outgrow roles all the time. You know, the baby healer might be a people pleaser, and that's okay, because they've learned through people pleasing how to really focus on another person and their well-being. So it's okay to be a people pleaser for a period of time. You just want to outgrow it at a certain point. That shows you're actually transforming and that you aren't stuck in a role that is now causing you pain and suffering. So the end of self-abandonment. This will be a big theme for many as we go through this coming year. And I know many of you will already have been cleaning this up over the years, but it's going to come to the fore for many of you this year. In January, we'll see it beginning. Resentment is always a good clue. If you're resenting others, if you're resenting other people, if you're jealous of other people, you're abandoning yourself at some level. There is a part of you that either feels like life has abandoned you or you're abandoning yourself. And I think one of the hardest things is when I get emails or, you know, messages or work with or speak to people who are caregivers. It's a really tough one. So if you are a caregiver, you have to find ways, even if they're just small moments, where you get to reclaim yourself for a short period of time. So it's not all about the other. It's very important for you and for the people that you're supporting and loving. So I know that's not easy, but whatever you can do to try and find support, to research, how do other caregivers survive? There are lots of support information groups out there. So do go looking. Don't stay isolated in those feelings, because they will lead to the death of your own life force. They will lead to the death of your own life force. So, okay, theme number 7. Are you feeling the electricity or the agitation of being ready to leap? Are you feeling the electricity or the agitation of being ready to leap? This is a time where more of us than ever before will be stepping or leaping into a more aligned life. And many of you will be feeling energy surges around creating that. So you might be feeling really positive. You might be feeling really driven. You might be feeling like, yeah, I'm going to make some things happen. Equally, others among you may be feeling agitated about this, or agitated and angry about anything in your life that is getting in the way of you feeling free to create and live the life you want. Transformation is calling you forward. And sometimes we have to go through a whole lot of feelings and thoughts and changes in order to get there. So there are some of you who are already ready to leap and you're feeling the electricity of it and you're going to be very supported. And then there are some of you who are going to feel the agitation, the frustration, the anger. It goes back to the end of self-abandonment theme. You're going to come out of this and you're going to create something more aligned. That's what the energy is calling all of us forward into. But the process isn't always fun, isn't always quick, and it takes time. So if you resonate with what I'm saying, you're right on target, you're right on track. Ask yourself what you're agitated about or what you're angry about. Write it down so that you know, so that you remember, so that you can start to make some changes in those areas. And theme number 8, trust lessons. How are you doing with trusting yourself or trusting others? When we trust ourselves, our choices, and our intuition, our lives become more aligned and they flow with greater ease. Sometimes we need to learn where we are trusting the wrong person or the wrong thing at the expense of our own well-being or needs. So expect mirrors of this energy to show up for you as you deepen self-trust. None of us live 100% in one state. So this isn't about you having to be the only source of trust in your whole life and don't rely on anyone else. But this theme really is to get more of us on track around self-trust. That's what this energy is calling forward. In general, do you trust yourself? Sure, there might be some days where you're like, I don't know what to think of this. Let me call my friend who I trust. And that's always a good thing to do. Trust someone that you know you trust and go, can I get your opinion on this? I'm a big fan of asking people's opinions of things. I always make my own decision, but I like to check what's the kind of, you know, what's going on out there. Now, equally, like many of you, I have made some funny choices in the past with people I've trusted who then either betrayed me or let me down or didn't behave in the way that I would have behaved. So I think there is a real lesson here around trust. And the feeling of trust to me is usually a feeling of inner peace, inner openness, feeling settled. So trust lessons are going to come up It will show up this year in general here and there, but January is going to be a big one. So how are you doing with trusting yourself or trusting others? And when I ask you that question, see which one pings for you. Is trusting yourself the lesson for you right now? Or is it trusting others? Either perhaps you need to learn to trust again. Perhaps you've had some trust wounds. It takes time when we've been burned to recover. But choose the few people in your life that you do know you trust and interact with them to kind of get yourself back online. So I hope, however, that theme shows up for you this month, it's not too painful. What it's doing is moving you towards greater trust of self, your own life, your own choices. So those are the themes for the January energy update. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Great to be with you again. Take good care of yourselves. Lots of love and see you soon.
Sometimes I do dismay of the world around me. Sometimes I do despair of it all gone wrong. And when you look at me with those tear-stained eyes all searching, the ever-present question troubles me. Like, how will we survive until the next century? How will we survive until the next throne? How will we survive if we don't act kindly? Yeah, the world's gonna surely implode. Yeah, but maybe we can sort it out. Yeah, but maybe it'll be alright. Criticizing, so I think it's time I threw away my phone. Yeah, cause mobile phones are shit and I don't take kindly to my airwaves clogging up so. Yeah, well, how will we survive until the next century? How will we survive until the next throne? Survive if we don't act kindly. Yeah, the world's gonna surely implode. Yeah, but maybe we'll sort it out. Yeah, but maybe it'll be alright. Don't act kindly. Yeah.
within, your connection between this world and the next.
Good question there from Bob Hillary and the Massive Mellow. How will we survive the next 100 years if we're not kind to people? Now, our dear friend Pam Gregory has done her usual stuff, and her predictions, her readings here for the full moon in Leo, which is February the 1st, which is on Sunday.
Hi everyone, I'm going to be speaking to you about the first half of February and the full moon in Leo that we have right at the start of the month on the 1st. But February is a very seismic month, and that could manifest in many ways. And I'm particularly thinking of the solar eclipse coming up in Aquarius on the 17th. I'll be talking about that in the next video. But that is square to Uranus. Uranus rules Aquarius. That's very, very heightened seismic activity. So that could be literal Earth movements. It could be geopolitics. It could be politics. It could be economic, financial, behavioral, social. It could always, as an astrologer, I never quite know how it's going to manifest, but the energy is very dynamic and very volatile, it's fair to say. So the more we can stay in peace and calm, the more we will help the collective to navigate these big times. And so I'd just like to backtrack, really, because that last for 10 days or so of January is very dynamic as well. We have the new moon on the 18th of January, which by the time I publish this will just have passed. I'm currently filming this on the 16th. We have the new moon at 28 degrees of Capricorn. In fact, it's almost at the anaretic degree of Capricorn. And we know that the anaretic degree is often where things express to extremes sometimes. So it's just within about a quarter of a degree of the anaretic degree. So Capricorn, as I mentioned in the last update videos, to do with business, the banking system, financial system, all that kind of thing. Materialism in general, capitalism, actually. And it tends to favour older people, Capricorn, because it's ruled by Saturn, linked to, in its myth, Kronos, chronology, older age. People who have strong Capricorn emphasis are very often good with older people. I know several people with the moon in Capricorn who do work with older people. They run old people's homes, or one friend goes around and visits and just chats to older people. They have great patience and affection for older people. But of course, this also reinforces the social political structure we've had, that we have tend to have older leaders at the top and have had for many years. That, I think, is going to change quite soon, or the beginning of the change. So that Capricorn new moon, 28 degrees of Capricorn, is really the launch of the old to the new, I think. We are just really within days of starting to feel very different energy, as a lot of the personal planets, as I'll be describing, move from Capricorn, cardinal Earth, into Aquarius, which is fixed air. There are big changes already in the financial system. I mentioned in the conversation with Ann Tucker that Jupiter is in Cancer, currently ruled by the moon, and wherever Jupiter falls, whichever sign it's in, it tends to magnify or expand the things that are associated with Cancer. So that may have helped to prop up the housing market to some extent, because the moon is the home, but it's also very linked to silver. And I think we can see very clearly what's happened there. I mean, silver is absolutely on a tear at the moment. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not even a financial astrologer. I'm just observing what has happened. And although Jupiter, right at the end of June, 30th of June, moves into Leo for 12 months until July 2027, that tends to favour gold. Leo is linked to gold. So we could see greater increase in the gold price. Again, this is not financial advice, but I actually think the positive increase in silver may well continue because it's so much needed for industrial use and more than ever with so much technology. And it also is needed in AI data centers, which are growing as well. All the markets are going to be volatile, I think. And as I've mentioned in a couple of other videos, at least, I think it's possible there could be some kind of AI or tech bubble brewing at the moment, because Saturn moves into Aries on the 14th of February, and it was in Aries at the dot-com bubble in the very late 90s when we had the dot-com bubble then. So we'll see what happens, but just be aware, there are many aspects of society that are very volatile. In contrast, actually, the very positive side of Capricorn, and here I'm not talking about sun signs. I never speak about sun signs. Capricorn is about stability, integrity. It's about a strong moral compass. It's about being your own leader, actually. It's about discipline and mastery, you know, really mastering something. And with the sun and moon, that new moon in Capricorn being pretty much exactly sextile to Neptune, that's very much about spiritual sovereignty, spiritual mastery. And that really is our way forwards, I think, on a positive timeline. So we could see a lot, I think it's a lot happening behind the scenes with the financial system. I don't know how or exactly when that's going to land. But I heard quite a staggering statistic today from the US that 10% of the population own 93% of the equity markets. And that's staggering because Capricorn energy tends to favor inequality because it tends to support hierarchy. Going back in history, I've gone back and looked at Pluto and Capricorn historical cycles way, way back, and they tended to be, when Pluto was in those periods, tended to be very unequal, sort of autocratic, top-down societies. And as Pluto moves into Aquarius, which it did in November 2024, but remember, this is just the beginning because Pluto is going to stay in Aquarius a little. January 2044, it's just the beginning, that's when the paradigm tends to topple, and it's the beginning of a new socioeconomic structure, which is much more equitable, never completely equal, but much fairer, much more equitable. So we're just really at the beginning of that right now. Now, from about the 20th, the new moon is on the 18th, from about the 20th until the 23rd of January. The personal planets are starting to move from late Capricorn into Aquarius. So we have Sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, all between, in fact, it's actually from the 17th to the 23rd. 17th to the 23rd, they're all moving from late Capricorn into early Aquarius. And of course, they do that round about this time every year. That's not a big surprise. What is different this year is because Pluto is in Aquarius, and Pluto is a real, real heavyweight in Aquarius. It's going to be there till 2044. And so all of these personal planets start to form conjunctions to Pluto on the 20th. Venus is conjunct Pluto. We could see quite a lot of financial change. Venus has to do with money, currencies. We could see some, you know, quite big shifts in the values of currencies that day. On the 22nd, we have Mercury conjunct Pluto in Aquarius. Pluto is secrets and Aquarius is truth. So time and time again, when you have hard aspects between Mercury and Pluto, you have truth coming to the fore. Secrets are revealed, particularly if we're looking at the sign of Aquarius. That same day, the Sun conjuncts Pluto. So that's a big day for power struggles, assertions of power, We also have Mars at the anoretic degree of Capricorn, the very last degree of Capricorn. So it's going to be, that's a, you know, with those three aspects, that's going to be a very potent day around issues of power, truth coming to light, secrets being revealed. And again, 29 degrees of Capricorn, that very final degree of the zodiac sign. And I believe from memory, that was the midheaven of the Wall Street crash. I believe, I'll have to check that, but I believe that's the case. The status reputation of Wall Street at the Wall Street crash in 2029. Then on the 27th of January, we have Mars conjunct Pluto. This is brute force. This is very strong energy. In an individual's chart, this can give tremendous willpower, focus, determination to, you know, stick to it, see something through. But it is, it can be very forceful in the global situation. And that's the same day that we have the Moon conjunct Uranus. All of this energy that I've talked about is revolutionary energy, and particularly when the Moon is conjunct Uranus, the planet of revolution. On the 30th, Mars comes to exactly conjunct the ascendant of China, which is at 5 degrees of Aquarius. So this is very, very active, churning, revolutionary energy. Aquarius energy demands freedom, greater demand for human rights, civil rights, greater equality in society. It's very much about freedom, truth. Whenever Pluto moves into a sign within the first year or so, it starts to bring about a crisis. Think of 2008. Pluto had just moved into Capricorn a few months earlier, and we had the banking crisis in September 2008. Aquarius is more linked to issues around freedom and truth. It's also linked to things like science and technology. So we could see a crisis around science and technology in some way, how they have been used for the good of all or not so much, let's say. Aquarius also favours youth. Capricorn favours the older generation. And remember, I'm not young myself here. I'm being totally objective here. It favours youth. And what's fascinating is if we look at the governments that have been recently overthrown, they have been overthrown by young people. The Nepalese government, very recently the Bulgarian government, governments in Kenya, Morocco, Madagascar, I believe the Thai government too. It's literally young people taking to the streets and not backing down until the governments are overthrown. And this is really the Gen Z generation that were born somewhere between 1997 and 2012. They are feeling particularly revolutionary because they can see how the whole socioeconomic structure is set up and it isn't in their favour. So, of course, it doesn't have to be across society revolution on the streets. It can be, as I've talked about many times in other videos, and can be a revolution of love, a revolution of choice, that you energetically disengage from the system. You just energetically decouple. You become self-employed, you shop at farmers markets, you don't go to supermarkets, you make different choices. You decouple from the system as far as you're able, and many, many people are doing that. Neptune on the 26th of January moves into Aries fully. It moved into Aries briefly last year in the sort of middle months of the year, but it's now moving into Aries fully until 2039. For that whole period, it stays in the sign 13-14 years. And I've got a whole video on this because Saturn moves into Aries to join it on the 14th of February. And as we know, the conjunction to the minute 044 of Aries happens on the 20th. I've already done some time ago a Saturn Neptune video. I will put the link for that below. So I don't want to go through all of that again, but one of the things that historically Neptune has been known for is idealizing or glorifying war, you know, the glory of war. Many of you know that the American Civil War in 1861 began within a day of Neptune entering Aries. So there can be this kind of idealization of war. Now, clearly, we have war in many places in the world and, you know, war drums sounding louder by the day. Yes, there is absolutely a timeline for war. Absolutely. But are you going to focus on that and feed it? That's up to you. But I'd suggest they are better places to put your focus. It's also very interesting that as a consequence of Neptune in Aries historically tending to be linked to war, it's also linked to conscription. And, you know, I would just ask yourself whether you think Gen Z particularly, or young people in general, are going to think that's a good idea for them. And recently there's been a change in the ruling of the Armed Forces Bill in the UK. This will come into practice in spring 2027, which isn't that far away. I mean, it's just over 12 months away. And they've expanded the age range on which they can draw as a strategic reserve. And what that means, they can call on people in the UK who previously have been in the armed forces, who are now up to the age of 65, to be conscripted, essentially, to come and join the strategic reserve and help defend the UK. And equally, I'd ask that that same question, because this is a much older generation. The consciousness has changed a lot since a world war, and I think that is one of the things that could feed the revolution as well, the revolutionary behavior. So Neptune in Aries is also about taking spiritual action. Be your own spiritual hero. When Uranus moves into Gemini on the 26th of April, that's about choices. And so that they will be sextile, Neptune and Uranus, making your daily choices spiritually based would be a great way to read that. Making your daily choices spiritually based. But of course, you don't have to wait until Uranus moves back into Gemini. You can start to do that right now, of course, because I think that's a really good idea. And remember, all I've been talking about with war, remember that the past does not dictate the present or the future. We do. Humanity does. And humanity's left the tram tracks of the hamster wheel of predictability. And I think that's becoming clearer by the day. And a lot of the people I speak to on this channel, as you will know well, have a very different view of our future and where we're headed. There's not just one timeline. As I've said many times, there are 8 billion timelines. You don't just have to focus on the one that's appearing on the news, however dominating that one is. So although the personal planets shift from Capricorn into Aquarius every year around this time, as I say, you will never in your life have had this configuration, because Pluto hasn't been there since 1798. And so, yes, it dipped in a little bit over the last couple of years, but really this is the first time where it's fully in Aquarius that we will have this set of conjunctions, which I've just described, coming together with Pluto. And so it will activate that whole Pluto principle. And I'll put the Pluto in Aquarius video below that I filmed, I think, way back in 23 originally, of what that's all about. But it is a revolution in the socio-economic and political structure of our world. It's that big. It's an entire paradigm shift. So, big energy shift, cardinal earth into fixed fire. And remember, for these last 16 days, as we go into February, that we are still in the year of the wood snake. We are still shedding the old order. As of the 17th, of February, and that of course is the day of the solar eclipse in Aquarius, that is when the Chinese New Year starts, and that's the beginning of the year of the fire horse, which is completely different in terms of its energy. And then 3 days later, we have Saturn conjunct Neptune exactly. Okay, so as always, I set this for the UK. Unless you live here, ignore the clock face, ignore the houses. We're just looking at the planets and their aspects to each other. And so we can see a very heavy emphasis. As I was just speaking there, giving you the dates when these personal planets move. There's Pluto here, of course, and these other personal planets were moving into Aquarius in those last, really from the 17th of January onwards. And so incredibly heavy emphasis. Issues of freedom, truth, greater equability, civil rights, human rights, etc. Science, technology, shortcomings of, crisis around, etc. Humanitarianism is big. Community living is big. So, yeah, there's some really wonderful things here. And Aquarius in its shadow side can have a kind of agitation because, just like the glyph suggests, there's a sort of zuzziness. It's like interference on the television set. There's a jazziness in the mind, potentially, if you know, if you've used screens too long that day, tech too long that day, you can get very jazzed up. And remember that it's not currently in my software, but the beautiful symbolism of Chariclo comes into this. Actually, Chariclo is conjunct Mercury at this full moon, and Chariclo is at 21 degrees, 24 minutes of Aquarius, right on that Mercury, which is about, all about, she was the wife of Chiron in myth. She helped to heal Chiron simply by her state of being. So it's all about dropping into that Buddhist, eternal, permanent ground of being, that ground of being, that stillness, that just that exquisite zero point. And I'd so encourage you to do that as often as you can. I've talked about that in many, many videos. We do have great forcefulness happening here because Mars is actually at the midpoint of Pluto and the Sun. So whatever's happening at this time, it's happening with great force. And I'm going to talk about some of the other themes in a moment around leadership, but I think that's very strong. Whereas, you know, the other side here is about humanitarianism, as I say. And Venus in Aquarius is about humanitarian love, not just a personal love, a love for your brothers and sisters across the world. Feeling compassion with them, feeling empathy with them, particularly if they're caught up in an extreme weather event, an extreme earth event. And I do believe they will continue through 2026. The earth is throwing off her own trauma, going through her own rebirth. We are moving in symbiosis with her. And so she has to be allowed to express that. And so I do think more seismic activity, more solar activity, more extreme weather will occur. And we have to come together either in meditation, sending love, sending money, whatever we can do, because at the end of the day, we are one humanity. And my free 15-minute meditations every night really focus on situations like that. But this is a full moon in Leo. The sun and moon are always opposite each other at a full moon. So we have the moon at 13 degrees of Leo. And Leo, of course, is heart energy. And this is where we have to start to operate from in a much bigger way. We've lived through the information age and, you know, our attention span has been so shortened by Twitter, X, TikTok. You know, we just jump from one thing to the other as so many things demand our attention in our modern world. But it takes us out of the heart and into the head with short attention spans. So part of this whole paradigm shift is to get back to the heart. And we know from the beautiful work HeartMath has done that the heart's toroidal field is, I believe it's 50 times stronger than that of the brain. And the heart sends more information to the brain than the brain does to the heart. And we are going to start to live much more fully from the heart. Leo energy is loving, dramatic, warm, expressive. expansive, demonstrative, creative, playful, love of children, love of creating. And together with Neptune just having tipped into Aries on the 26th of January, these are both speaking of, and in fact they're sesquiquadrate to each other, they're speaking of sovereignty. Find the hero inside yourself. The way out is the way in. Or the way in, rather, the way in is the way out. Turning inwards is the way we get beyond this paradigm, is what that means. So find the hero inside yourself, find your spiritual sovereignty, big time. Leo is also about leadership. Now, this can be a natural leadership that you just inspire confidence in other people to let their light shine. It can be very beautiful in that way. It's linked to leaders. It's linked to celebrities. It's linked to royalty because it's very regal. But the shadow expression of Leo, and every single sign has its shadow expression. And again, I've never talked about sun signs ever in my work. This is just the Leo energy. The shadow side is self-glorification, service to self versus service to others, entitlement, being more important than other people. I once saw a t-shirt and on it, it said, "I've arrived so we can start now." And I thought that was a perfect expression of the shadow side of Leo. So the full moon is also shining a light on any of those behaviors. If our leaders have been superior, self-glorified, entitled, service to self rather than serving the people that they are being paid to serve, a very bright light is going to be shone on those behaviours and where those behaviours have fallen short. Because this is also actually, Leo is the individual, Aquarius is the people, en masse. So this is also highlighting, as I've just really mentioned, head versus heart. So there, you know, lots of different themes within this Leo Aquarius full moon. And we need to go really forwards thinking of the good of the people. I mean, this is going to be strengthened in a way with heavy Aquarian emphasis, but also Jupiter, as I've just mentioned, moves into Leo right at the end of June, 30th of June, and stays there for a year. And this is going to highlight what is good, benevolent, heart-centered leadership versus self-serving, self-glorified leadership. That's going to become very, very clear. And the Aquarian emphasis is going to demand that that becomes clear. So whatever is unfolding at this full moon is two sesquiquadrates here linked to this launch of a new beginning, whole new paradigm, a new beginning for humanity, a new beginning for you individually. And as I've talked about again in many videos recently, what is your new beginning? What's your new passion? What's your new project? What's your new career? What's your new job? What's your new relationship? What are you going to throw yourself into with all of this incredible energy of new beginnings, of pure potentiality from the 20th of February onwards? And also think more broadly for humanity and how you can feed that. The moon is also conjunct the dwarf planet Varuna here. And Varuna is mentioned in the earliest Veda texts thousands of years ago. And Veda is not only linked to the deep oceans, but also the kind of primordial space from which everything manifests. Varuna is god of the divine cosmic order, stands for spiritual wisdom, moral truth, and divine justice, and great integrity. Alan Clay, who runs the Dwarf Planet University, calls Varuna mastery consciousness, a self-sufficient mastery. And this is really what we're getting into with Neptune and Saturn both being in Aries from the 14th of February onwards. That's very much about, you know, the Aries, the keywords are I am, and Leo is, you know, I shine, I create. This whole new paradigm is about us as humanity, individually and collectively, stepping into spiritual sovereignty. And so although Varuna has great power, he rules without force. He rules without force. And so this is what we need to move towards. And in general, leadership going forward is no longer going to be, as I've mentioned in the past, so longer top down, this vertical socioeconomic structure. It's going to be teamwork, more horizontally based, visionaries, progressives, innovators, who gather people around them who want to be part of their team and take those ideas forward. That's how it's going to work. So we have some very clear themes here around leadership, power, service to self versus service to others, elitism and inequality, etc., head versus heart. Where is the new beginning that is being birthed from this? And so I think in these days, we are, as I mentioned right at the beginning, it's quite seismic. It could be geopolitically, I think that's very likely, politically, economically, financially. You know, all of these things are going to sort of come to a head. February is the beginning of an extremely dynamic period because it's also the beginning of eclipse season, February, March. And by late March, April, just like we have a huge stellium, a grouping of planets with three or more planets in a sign is called a stellium. By March, April, late March, April, we're going to have a huge number of planets in Aries. Yes, that's ruled by Mars and that's war, but that isn't the only expression of Aries. What about personal courage, truth, initiative, standing in your power, sovereignty? But it's also, remember, about this mastery consciousness where you choose through your sovereignty to live in peace, calm, compassion, love, and joy, and not be swayed by any external drama coming at you. That's when we're reactive. That's when we're still actually in victim. So we have to step out of that. Remember that although we may have had Saturn moving through Aries in your lifetime, if you're more than, you know, about 30 years old, you will never have had Neptune moving through Aries fully now in your lifetime, because Neptune has an orbit of 165 degrees. You will never fully have had Pluto in Aquarius in your lifetime, because it was last fully in Aquarius in 1798. You know, these are real, real, very different times with very different energy for humanity. So I just want to pick up on a couple of geographic areas. I'm going to stop sharing here. I looked at the astrocartography for this full moon in Leo, and it was quite remarkable to me that at this full moon in Leo, the Uranus is conjunct the midheaven, on the midheaven, running straight through Greenland. The midheaven is the government or the leadership. Now, there isn't a chart for Greenland. It's under the authority of Denmark. But I just think looking at the astrocartography for this full moon in Leo, it's fascinating that that is suggesting some radical change or, you know, certainly some push against the government leadership in Greenland. And, you know, we're all aware of what's happening in the world with that. This full moon is also, I looked at the chart for Iran. There are two charts for Iran, but this one, I think, it is particularly sensitive to transits. This was set for the 1st of April, 1979, 3 o'clock p.m., 3 p.m., so 1500 local time, Tehran. It has an ascendant at 17 of Leo. It has a midheaven at 10 of Taurus. So this full moon in Leo is conjunct the ascendant, the identity of Iran, and square to the midheaven, the government. So again, that suggests a bright light is being shone on activity in Iran. And also in that chart, Mercury, which is communication, internet, etc., is at 27 of Pisces. Saturn, transiting Saturn, has been sitting right on that Mercury. And as you may know, the internet was cut, communications were cut. It was very hard for people, for the Iranian people, to get information. Mercury also rules the second house of the country's economy and the 11th house of politics. And I know the economy has been very suppressed, as well as the media being suppressed, and also it suggests some, political challenge, let's say, political challenge. I happened to come across the chart for California, which was interesting. That was set for 9th of September, 1850, 9:32 in the morning in San Jose. That has a midheaven at almost 9 degrees of Leo, 8:50 of Leo. And the north node in that chart is at 14 of Leo. So this full moon is conjunct both the midheaven and the north node in that chart. I don't follow the politics closely in the US, so you Americans will be much more aware of any political change in California. We also have the dwarf planet Haumea conjunct the moon and the ascendant of that chart in California. The moon and the ascendant was the people, and the ascendant is the identity, both at 3 degrees of Scorpio, where Haumea is right now. But Haumea has been sitting there for some time. Haumea is a very slow-moving planet, round about 300 years orbit. So that isn't a sudden one-off thing like this full moon in Leo. But that was just interesting. So we'll just observe. And the final point was, and I've mentioned this before in recent videos, that if you look at the chart for China, the moon, the people, is at 3 degrees of Aquarius, where Pluto is right now. The ascendant, the identity of the country, is at 5 degrees of Aquarius. Sorry, did I say Leo? I meant Aquarius. The ascendant is at 5 degrees. So Pluto is conjunct, transiting Pluto is conjunct the moon, the people in the chart for China, and is coming on to, in fact, this year will be coming on to the identity. Now that could suggest some greater assertiveness, let's say, on the part of China. So what do we do with all this, dynamic energy, rapid change, endings and beginnings, so much happening so quickly? And the way we control our reality and control our state of being is by going inwards. So these things will not surprise you. I've been talking about them for many years. So, and they're all for free for everybody, all for free. Be in nature, bare feet on the earth, meditate, candle gaze, breath work, have a rolling mantra if you can't think of anything better. We're welcoming in an ever-expanding consciousness of love. Join the free 15-minute meditations at 7 p.m. UK time every night, all for free. Thousands of people are doing this all over the world and having some beautiful experiences that really gives them validation that we are building, along with many other people facilitating meditations all over the world. We are building a brighter and stronger web of light in every moment. And people, because we're all becoming more psychically sensitive now, people are starting to perceive this, and it just gives so much hope and optimism and validation that there is not just one timeline. So the old world is collapsing very, very loudly, and I'd suggest that's going to get even louder. So just know that. Have we been caught off guard? No. Along with other astrologers, I've been talking about this for the last couple of years. It's right on time. It's right on time. I would be very surprised if this wasn't happening right now. So know it's right on time. Know it has to happen. It has to collapse in order that we can see it, not to repeat it, but also to really help us change our patterns and where we put our attention. Stay in calm, stay in peace, stay in joy, stay in gratitude, stay in compassion. Acts of love and joy, remember, are also acts of defiance. or my favorite phrases. So know that history, the past, does not define the present or the future. We have left the tram tracks. We have moved beyond that repetitive hamster wheel of predictability, I believe, absolutely profoundly. If you listen to the conversation I had just last night on the 15th, it was published with Dr. David Clements, that will give you some idea of where we are headed. And it's extraordinary. Humanity has never done this in physicality, and we are moving at speed into higher and higher dimensions of being that were considered absolutely unachievable even a few years ago, absolutely out of the picture, not even on the radar. They're now becoming highly achievable, and we're going to do that in our lifetime, or certainly the potential for that is there if we want to step into it. So our future is immensely exciting. Remember, there's not just one timeline. And remember that your focus is your superpower. Catch yourself all the time with the social media you're consuming, with the thoughts you're running in your head. Put post-it notes on your cupboards and fridge and bathroom mirror. Your focus is your superpower. These are very extreme, dynamic, destabilizing, and absolutely magnificent times for humanity. So I hope that's helped. Lots going on. I'll be back soon with a update video for the second half of February, which will include that solar eclipse in Aquarius on the 17th, followed by 3 days later, Saturn joining Neptune in at 0 degrees 44 of Aries. God bless. I hope this has been helpful for you. Bye for now, and much love to you all. And thank you for all the amazing, loving support you give me every day in the comments. It is deeply appreciated. So much love to you all. We're in this together, remember. We're holding hands and we're in this together. God bless. Bye for now.
Together we sing in the heart of it. infinity, we embrace everything at infinity. Where spirit flows free, find our home. A journey deep within where hearts can roam. With every heartbeat, we dance through the light. In the whispers of infinity, we shine so bright. Oh.
It's a new track called Whispers of Infinity. It's all about
Infinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
So what's happening at 550 Anglesey Street? Well, in February, as I said, it's all started. Last night you missed Psychic Drawing with the Introduction to Spirit, my weekly series. So next week, on Wednesday, it's all about channeling. So you can just come along. It's a kohar at the door for an hour and learn something different. And then on Saturday the 7th, Stacey's beginning her beginner's tarot course, which is from 10 till 2 on a Saturday. And then on Monday following, Manda's starting a create and connect. Now we'll talk about that next week probably. And then I'm back into Introduction to Spirit on 11th. And then my first drum making is on the 14th. So I'll be doing drum making workshop on Saturday the 14th, along with Stacey, who's doing Beyond the Tarot, which is a sort of follow-on. All details are infinityspiritualcenter.co.nz. You can go there and you can book up or read about everybody and all sorts of exciting stuff. And you can actually buy things now on the net. You can go and see what we've got in stock. And if it strikes your fancy, you can buy and pay for them and we'll send them out to you. I am Barry. It's been The Voice Within. Kakite. Shalom. Namaste. Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.